sweep where darkness dwells. Phantom chasers calling, calling my name. Can't catch what can't be held, but still I hunt the haunted, hunting the same. Phantom chasers whisper warnings while I wander these wasted halls. Phantom chasers, phantom chasers, following footsteps that fade away. You chase me through chambers, call them cavernous. I can't escape what you can't explain.
Phantom chasers, phantom chasers,
always watching.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Phantom Chasers Radio. I'm William Zabel, better known as Phantom B. Well, this is the first time I've done a radio show for the Phantom Chasers name in, I would say probably 15 years. I used to have PhantomChasers.com, and if any of you had listened on the old website, you know I did a lot of conspiracy cover-up talk, that type of thing. I don't know how long Phantom Chasers Radio will be on the air. I do have this domain and this web hosting for a year, but I'm going to be out of here, going to Brazil, got a job down there. So I don't know if I'm going to be able to access the web hosting company from down there, and I don't know if I'm going to have the time. It's the same job I had before in Germany, and it was about 50, 55 hours a week. That's a lot. Over a 40-hour work week. So I don't know at this point. It's questionable. But as long as I'm still here in the U.S., we'll do this radio program. Right now, I want to describe a little bit what we'll be talking about throughout these shows. there are many different conspiracies. There isn't just the simple two guys agreeing to rob a bank or steal a car or whatever. When it comes to government, corporate America, and government at all levels, not just federal government, you can come here to my own city of Brighton, Colorado, and you'll find conspiracies up the wazoo. But what you're dealing with is you will have conspiracies that go across political, economic, social, and even religious aspect. Yes, in religion, you will find conspiracies. You will also find cover-ups in the political, economic, social, and religious area. So those are things to think about. This website will be divided up according to that. I guess there's one other thing I probably left out. It's hard to say whether we're dealing with a conspiracy or not, but science and technology. The people who build science and technology are economic thinking. Their whole idea is to make a lot of money. So you might not say that they're involved in a conspiracy other than working together to create a product or service. But we also know that government uses technology to spy on people for the wrong reason. And it's not to catch terrorists. A lot of times they just want to know what you're doing. It's like William Cooper said in his book, Behold a Pale Horse. The government wants to know all and tax all. That's really what it comes down to. With things like medicine, you will find conspiracies within medicine. So maybe I should have included science and technology within the conspiratorial realm. It's just that the majority of people working in these industries have no idea what the people above them use the technology for. So you can't really say they're conspiring, you know, against the people. They're just got degrees in technology and they're just doing a job. But science and technology can be used in a conspiratorial manner, and it has for decades. So now I'll give you a little taste of what you're going to see. I will do the COVID-19 vaccine on this radio program. I will also go back and look at 911. In light of Sandy Hook, a lot of researchers are going back and looking at school shootings. If you were listening to this radio program before, you know I did the Columbine High School shooting research. And you know that I determined that there were other suspects involved. In light of Sandy Hook, I'm going back and looking at Columbine because I don't like some of the things that people said at Columbine. It was kind of like what the one family member said at Sandy Hook when he said, "Oh, I'm in the right place for the camera," or whatever it was he said. And people are like, "The hell did he say that for? And why was he smiling?" So I'm going to go back and look at that. Columbine will be up here on the website too. I'm going to look at Trump. Trump needs to be looked at since he's president of the United States. I don't think enough people have really examined him real well. People have in the past, as you know. There's a, you know, you can go back and look, and there's a lot of stuff, you know, about him from the past and everything that can be used. He leads up to another thing called the Daughter of Babylon. I did a lot of Substack articles on this, got some hits and everything, got some really nice hits. You're going to see on this website, I don't want to spoil it, who this entity is called the Daughter of Babylon. And it's going to shock you, and it's going to shock you how Trump is connected to this Daughter of Babylon. You're going to be shocked. It's going to be something. I also get into other areas, the paranormal, deal with it. Though I came out of the UFO paranormal field a long time ago, I still believe ghosts are possible. But the UFOs from outer space, having gone to college and being scientifically minded, I know a lot about the atmosphere or lack thereof outside the Earth's atmosphere and what it's like out there in space. For a spaceship to be able to move the distances that they would have to move to get to Earth from any nearby planet that our scientists know could have life, it's too far away unless they would have some type of fantastic technology faster than light. And even faster than light, it would still take them years to get here. So having a lot of trouble with that. I can tell you that a lot of researchers that are going back and looking at history are finding that there is a lot of disinformation in the U.S. government going clear back to almost its beginnings. In fact, actually to its beginnings, that this country was built by the Illuminati and Masons, all kinds of stuff like that. As you know, Washington, D.C. is laid out like the pentagram, which the Masonic Lodge symbol is part of a pentagram. So yeah, and of course the Beltway around Washington, D.C. makes the pentagram the Beltway. And then the street signature looks like the Masonic symbol, but when you add the Beltway outside, it becomes the pentagram. I'll deal with mind control. Mind control is a big thing. Every aspect of our life and society deals with mind control, has it. We're all subjected to it. I'm subjected to it. You are. We'll deal with that on this show. Another one that caught my attention, and I didn't remember it at first, is the mysterious disappearances in the park. I actually had that happen to me when I was a little kid. I forgot all about it. All I remember was my mom and my grandparents and my grandmother's sister looking for me. And I didn't think much about it until I started hearing these radio shows about these mysterious disappearances in the parks. And I'm like, this dude is talking about me. I could be that person. I could have been one of those. I don't remember anything about it, but I was gone for 6 hours, guys, and to me it was only 5 minutes. It was weird, very weird. I can't explain it to this day. I don't remember like being abducted. I was actually put under hypnosis once, and when they woke me up, I asked the lady, I said, "What'd you find?" And she goes, "Nothing, Bill. It's static. They're nothing but 6 hours of static." I said, "Are you kidding me?" I said, "Everybody remembers being in a spaceship and everything and being shown other planets of the universe." She goes, "Not you." "No." She goes, "There was nothing there, Bill. It's like you were unconscious the whole time." I said, "Oh my God." So that'll be some of the things that I'm looking at there. We will deal with unsolved murders too, and those types of things. Mysterious disappearances that don't have anything to do with the national parks, we'll look at that. That will also have its own web section on the website here, because there's tons of that. So that's, you know, those are some of the things that you're going to see on this radio program, and it will be enlightening. I will have, down the road, I will have a forum where you can leave your own experiences or comments about something you saw on the web or the radio show. Now, unlike Alex Jones, and I want to tell you right now, I don't like the guy, okay? I really don't. My cousin and her husband live in Austin. They can tell you all about Alex Jones. Down there, he is known as an Israeli Mossad agent. When he was married to his wife, Violet, she was a known Mossad agent to the U.S. State Department and the White House. That was very well known back in the day. So she's no secret, but I think he is. And the one reason I don't like him was there were a lot of up-and-coming radio shows, radio programs that were really doing good out there besides him and Rents and Steve Quayle. And he buried them. He went after them. Remember when he said he used to go after radio programs he didn't like and he'd find something wrong and get them off the air? Who can do that? Except a government agent. Yeah, a government agent can do that. No average guy could. I couldn't take a radio station off the air, but Alex Jones could. So there you go. So that's something we all need to think about right there, what we're dealing with. Like I said, the unsolved mysteries, unsolved murders, the mysterious disappearances, they'll all have their own areas of the website that you can see for yourself. Like I said, once I get it up, leave comments. Also, I already have the email up on the website. So, you know, if you have something interesting that you would want to tell me about. You know, I can keep a confidence if you say, don't use my name, but this happened, I saw this over here, you know, that's fine, I can do that. I don't need to use names, you know. So, let's see what else is there. I think I'm going to spend the rest of the show today. What I really want to talk about is the current situation between Ukraine and Russia and the Palestinians in Israel. I'll start with the Ukrainian thing. I lived in Germany for 4 years, from 2016 to 2020. Finally forced back to America because of COVID. They wouldn't let me stay. I hem-hawed around for months, and they're like, no, you got to go home. I couldn't understand. If you want to lock people down to keep COVID from spreading, why in the world are you sending me home and put me on a commercial airplane? It didn't make any sense at all. But I don't think they want Americans in Europe. They did a good number trying to get rid of Americans. I can tell you right now, with what I saw while I was in Germany, is that the German people do not want war with Russia. They never did. This is the U.S. If there is any state that's going to become the 51st state of the American Union, it'd have to be Germany. Because Berlin, I lived in Berlin. The entire U.S. government is represented in Berlin. There's a huge building in downtown Berlin, and everybody thinks it's the state government for Germany. No, it's not. That's the U.S. government. The central command for the entire U.S. military across Europe and the Middle East is run out of that office in Berlin. That's all generals and admirals there. The USDA is there. The FBI is there. CIA is there. Defense Intelligence Agency, NSA. They're all represented in that building. Everything's there. The entire U.S. government pretty much occupies Germany all over. Stuttgart, that's the main U.S. Army base in Stuttgart. So, yeah, and they don't want war with Russia. Now, to tell you where this is going, Russia pretty much controls Ukraine already. There's not much left, and nobody's heard from Zelensky in over a week. They probably already got him in Siberia chipping rocks or something, and they just don't want to tell anybody. But nobody's heard from him in a week. I'll bet they got him finally. But they brought Poland into this. They brought Estonia into this. They're bringing one country after another into this, and the German chancellor sent these cruise missiles and these U.S. Abrams tanks and all this other stuff that we gave him for his military to Poland. I'm telling you right now, Poland for some reason wants to go. And it's not the reason that you say. I think what it is they're all broke. And when you're broke, you go to war. What happened during the Depression? Does anybody remember? That's right. We started saying, look at that Germany over there. Look at that Japan over there. Look what they're doing. We got to go. And we did. Of course, we were late getting to the war because we wanted Europe to fight it for us. But eventually we got involved, of course, which is what anybody would expect. Now, this will not end well. These countries, if somebody is giving them nuclear weapons and saying, you can go ahead and use them against Russia if you think you need be, that won't turn out well. Europe will end in a not so very good fashion. Europe will be done But America will be done even worse, because I can tell you right now, Putin knows all this comes from America. The globalism, all of it. By the way, I'm going to put a link down here below this radio show. You can go look at it. It is a map that shows the global layout of military divisions. NORTHCOM, SOUTHCOM, CENTCOM, EUROCOM, PACIFICCOM. That's not in Russia, in Russian, that map. That's in English, and it is on a U.S. Army website. You need to understand, we run the world. Yes, we do. We need to stop blaming everybody else for what's going on in the world, because we're running this show. We're the ones doing this, and we need to recognize that as American citizens, and we need to start holding our government accountable, because they're going to kill everyone. If Trump starts something, or if, God forbid, he gives Zelensky a nuclear weapon, and Zelensky puts it on a cruise missile, launches it into Moscow, it's over. It's over. Putin will nuke the whole thing. He won't care. He'll end it. My cousin, who I live with right now, is married to a Russian woman. And she said, Bill, in Russia, we don't believe in happy endings. We're not like you Americans. We don't think that this whole country is the Andy Griffith Show, okay? Only you Americans think like that. We don't. So you need to understand that the rest of the world does not think like we do. We think this country is the Andy Griffith Show, and that Trump is Andy Griffith, the sheriff. Now, I don't know who his Barney Fife would be. Maybe J.D. Vance or something, who knows. But the world is not a TV show, and that is our problem as Americans, is that we are in love with our entertainment. By the way, that daughter of Babylon that I told you about that Trump's associated with, she's known by a few things. One, she sits across multiple waters, but it doesn't say across multiple waters with what. It just says she sits across multiple waters. It also says, quote, she is mad on her idols. Okay, I think I just blew it and gave away who the daughter of Babylon is, but you get the idea. You'll see the whole thing laid out on the website. I'll read it off on here on this radio show. I do have a Substack channel, WilliamKZabel.substack. Not getting a whole lot of hits nowadays. I think people are burned out on the conspiracy stuff. But if you're interested, head on over there and check out the articles. And I would ask, I'm not going to be like Alex Jones and, you know, say, well, this costs thousands of dollars a month to run this thing. I need money. My Substack articles and my surveys, and I help the city of Brighton, my city. I work off the books. They just have me clean up the park. They leave me trash bags. And then the manager of the city maintenance department, he leaves me an envelope with money in it where he knows nobody will find it. And so I'm only making about $300 a month between everything. Any donations you want to give would be great. And by the way, I work at the library because my cousin is a retiree from the Air Force. And he only gets $1,500 a month. And if it wasn't for his parents giving him the house, giving him their house, we'd all be living in his Tesla, which is a piece of junk that don't run. Which is why I walked to the library and used their internet, because we only got one car and his wife uses it. And she's got a ton of stuff to pay. She's got two college degrees and she works at Walmart. And she's got, like me, over $100,000 student loans to pay for. I'm paying the minimum $50 a month. My cousin is paying off his oldest daughter's from his first marriage student loans because her and her husband, both lawyers. You're going to love to hear this. They're unemployed. They live in Atlanta. Their law firm shut down. They can't get our job. They're thinking about going to work for the county as district attorneys because they can't get a job. So he's paying her student loans. So he only gets $1,500 a month. He's got no money left except for utilities, groceries, car insurance, house insurance, clothes, food, that kind of stuff. He don't even have money for the internet. His wife don't have money for the internet. So that's why I use the library's computer. So I'm also using their laptop. So what I would like to do is get enough donations for a laptop, if people would be very nice. It's a cheap, probably one of the cheapest laptops they have at Walmart, but it still has an iCore processor. It's an iCore 3, it's $279. Those MN processors, They're not dual processor capable. They're not really multi-threaded capable. They probably don't even run Windows that well. So anyways, that's my obligatory plea for donations. To give you a little bit on my background, like I said, the Ukraine-Russia war is going to blow up with everything that's going on there. So just to kind of diverge a little bit, to give you an idea before we go on to Gaza, my background is very conspiratorial. My grandfather was a chemist at the Rocky Mountain National, or the Rocky Mountain Arsenal, the U.S. Army Arsenal. He made it all. He made the chlorine gas. He made all of it. My grandmother was a civil defense coordinator for Adams County. My mother was NSA. And when the U.S. government still got along with the Iranians back in the day, I lived in Iran. My mother ran a eavesdropping service on the Soviets from Iran. Yeah. And so I lived in Iran for a year. It was fun. Actually, they're very respectful people. You will find they're not as bad as you think they are. We always tout ourselves here in America as this grand, glorious country. Everybody's perfect here, but everybody overseas sucks. No, they're beautiful people overseas. I lived in Germany, like I said, for 4 years, and I was a fluid controller technician, and we went all over to airports all over Asia and Europe, working on Airbuses, you name it. Wonderful people. Even in China, I got to go to China. And I'll tell you something, we need to quit thinking we are so prim and proper over here in America and everybody else is bad. You find good and bad people everywhere in this world. That's all there is to it. Just good and bad everywhere. You know, do I like the way China and North Korea run their government? But do you think I like the way my government runs? No, my government's no better. I can tell you there's people that are awake to the political system in this country that will tell you that America's just as big a police state as anything you'll find in North Korea or China. It's just that we've been acclimated to it, so it doesn't feel like a police state. And by the way, I will do articles and radio shows on that too and show you how our police are actually military. Yeah, city, county, state, and even federal FBI, they're all military. You got to understand, the military runs this country. And do you know what else it runs? You're going to love this. The military runs the music industry in Hollywood. When I was in Hollywood, just about every famous actor out there I knew had at least one parent in military intelligence. Yeah. And it was obvious during World War II, all the movies were pro-America. And they still are. It's still, you know, America's good, everyone else is bad. Of course, our hero has a drug problem for his pain, but that's all right. Anyways, let me get back to my background. So you know a little bit there about who I am, what I do. I dealt with the conspiracy as a kid because my mother's third husband was connected to the Italian mob here in Denver called the Smaldone. I'm not sure how to spell that anymore. My mom told me a long time ago how that's spelled. It's like Smaldone, like small and done. It's a weird name the way they pronounce it. I don't think it's pronounced. I'm just trying to spell it the way I think it should be spelled. My mother told me a long time ago. I can't remember. My stepdad was a mean SOB. He beat my mom and I almost to death. After I got thrown down the stairs into the basement and ended up unconscious and ended up in the hospital, I didn't trust the cops because everybody knows the cops over there in North Glen are all connected to the mob, North Glen, Colorado. And my stepdad was connected to O'Mara Ford. O'Mara Ford is an Italian front business, by the way. And I wouldn't talk to the social worker or the cops. I said, I don't know that you're not with them. Well, who's them? You know who I'm talking about. You know who they are. And I wouldn't talk to them. And then about a month later, he started in again. This time, I ran down to the Lutheran church down at the bottom of the hill from where we lived, and I talked to the janitor, and I said, can you help me? I said, my stepdad's going to kill my mom and I. He's beating on her right now. Now, you might say, why didn't I just go to the neighbors? Guys, that North Glen, Colorado, unless you ever been to the old section of North Glen, Colorado, that was all white trash. They're all drunks and drug addicts and alcoholics. I'm surprised that a woman like my mother, who was NSA, would even meet up with somebody like him. But like they say, The U.S. government's in bed with the mob, so maybe that's how she met him. I don't know. I was too young. I was like 5-6 years old at the time. Anyways, Jander said, yeah, and he called the cops, and they brought a social worker and everything, and they went up to the house, and he was gone, but my mom was pretty well smacked up, and she finally said she'd had it. She didn't care. He was mopped up, and the cops looked at each other and looked at me, because I finally told him. I said, my dad is mobbed up with the small dones. You mean up there at O'Mara Ford? I said, yeah, O'Mara Ford. Oh, no. That had nothing. I said, yeah, you know what? I'm not going to talk anymore if you're not going to listen to me. I said, he's going to kill us. He is mopped up. So they got me out of there, put me in the hospital, put my mom in the hospital. My mom divorced him from the hospital bed. She was in bad shape. He messed up her face pretty bad. Got the divorce done. No fault divorce. He went his way. We went our way. He was a bum anyways, and he finally lost a house, thank God. We lived over in the apartments on the west side of I-25. It was pretty uneventful. And then my mom met a former Green Beret from Vietnam. Now, I'm going to step up so I'm not just talking all day. We were in an auto accident with my stepdad right outside of town here, Brighton, Colorado. A drunk driver driving north in the southbound lanes hit us head on. Just as we were turning off of Bromley Lane onto 85, hit us head on. My stepdad was killed because the force of the accident shoved the steering wheel back into his chest and killed him. My mother wasn't wearing a seatbelt. She went into the windshield, and I just had a piece of glass in my eye. Later, while I was still in the hospital, because they said I was too freaked out and they didn't want to let me out anytime soon, until my mother was ready to go home, my grandparents went to this guy's trial. Okay. These guys walk in, and they tell the judge and the DA we need to talk in chambers, and they went in chambers. When they came out, the DA said, you're free to go with these men, and my grandparents go, no, what? Why? Where's he going? These guys supposedly were from the State Department, and they were going to take him out of the country. He was an illegal alien. Well, the State Department doesn't handle illegal immigration issues. ICE did. Years later, in the 80s, when my mother finally came clean and told my grandparents everything, my stepdad, who is like 12 years older than her, was connected to the CIA, which all Green Berets were, but he trained anti-Castro Cubans in Florida, and he was on the beach with them in Cuba, and when Kennedy pulled the air support, he and other anti-Castro Cubans swam out to a U.S. Navy sub. My mother found out that the guy that the State Department removed was not an illegal alien from Mexico. He was an anti-Castro Cuban. And those guys were not from the State Department because I filed a FOIA. They said that nobody from the State Department ever visited Brighton, Colorado to remove an illegal alien. They said that was probably CIA, as CIA agents use State Department covers. Okay? Now, Stephen D. Moon or whatever his name is, he admits that he used State Department cover when he was CIA. A lot of them admit that. I found out, too, when my mother let loose to my grandparents, that he told her all this stuff and said he knew how the Kennedy assassination was done. This was in the early days when they were just barely talking about the grassy knoll. And he said, there were multiple shooters, but they only needed one. He said they did a triangulation just in case the first shooter couldn't get him. Because remember, Dealey Plaza, that street's on an incline. But the shooter from the grassy knoll got him. Lee Harvey Oswald was a patsy, but he was up there. He was there. But he was there on purpose. He was there to let himself get caught so the real shooters could get away. My stepdad knew where everybody was. This is stepdad number 4. He knew where everybody was in Dealey Plaza. And my mom said, it didn't bother you? He says, no, I hated Kennedy. He says, I'm glad they shot the son of a bitch. He says he was as big a traitor to this country as anybody else. He says he is even worse than Nixon. And that's what my stepdad said. He said the Kennedys were horrible. And they are now. We know that Jack Kennedy was all mobbed up and running moonshine for the mobsters and all that. So yeah, it's Kennedys. I don't know why people worship the Kennedys. Screw them. I agree with my stepdad. So there's conspiracy number 2. Okay. Conspiracy number 3 was a small light conspiracy, and it had to deal with a kid I didn't even know at school who claimed I stole his hat, and I was calling him a homo and all this stuff. I never even talked to the kid. His dad was going to come after me and beat my ass. My grandfather said, you touch my grandson, I'll shoot you. So we called the cops. They went and talked to him. He said he'd back off. And finally, the son fessed up and said, I didn't steal the hat. But the bullies at our school, I went to Lutheran school, by the way, after the janitor helped me at Gethsemane Lutheran Church down there in North Glen, I decided when I went to school, I'd go to Lutheran school. And it was the uppity-up kids of school who put him up to it. So I didn't have much use for the kids at that school. There was one who was a real bully. I finally left in the eighth grade without graduating from eighth grade. I went over to VCon and finished eighth grade there and then went to ninth grade. I'd had enough of these jack-offs. Lutheran school, Lutheran church, for the most part, they're no better. I still say God bless that janitor that helped me, though. There's a few good people in the churches, but not many. Most of them are idiots. Now, I grew up with my wife, late wife, who's now dead, actually my ex-late wife. She was conspired against from day one. She was a Scientologist. While we were married, they started advertising in Scientology that she was married to this other guy. And some of the Scientologists who knew her said, well, she's married to Bill. What are they talking about? We knew the fix was in. So they conveniently got rid of me. I come home one day, and there's my daughter and all her stuff packed up, and my mother-in-law and her lawyer stand there in the living room of my wife's house saying, you have to go. I said, no, I don't. Yes, you do. So I got on the phone, and I called my mom's cousin, who is an assistant district attorney for L.A. He said, Bill, I've already been notified. He says, trust me. He says, get your daughter in the car and your stuff and go. He says, come over to the district attorney's office. We'll explain everything. Police chief was there. A bunch of people were there. And they said, Bill, you were going to get killed. They were going to kill you if you didn't leave. I said, why? What did I do? And they said, you're asking too many questions about your wife's money and about Scientology. They finally decided they need to get rid of you. You're going to get divorce paperwork in the next few weeks. Just sign it. You're going to get some nice money out of it to raise your daughter, but go. You go home to Colorado. We already have a job for you there. And I got a job at 7-Eleven. It was a guy I knew in high school. He's a store manager at 7-Eleven. And when I got back home, he said, I'll get you in. He said, don't worry. He says, we have to train you to get you up to management, but he says, you can work in my store part-time and you can work in these other stores. They'll get you full-time wages. Plus with the alimony and child support, you should be fine. So I got back here. They sent me the divorce paperwork. I signed it. I got $1,500 a month child support and I got $1,500 a month alimony. The alimony only lasted for 5 years, but that was fine. By the time I was up to store manager, and I was fine. We still believe to this day my daughter lives back out in L.A. She's a producer there in Hollywood. We weren't supposed to go back to Hollywood, by the way, and she did. But she's got a married name, and I doubt that her grandmother would even recognize her anyways. We don't think my ex-wife is even alive. We know now, officially, she died 2 years ago, but we think they actually took her out in the early 90s because I saw pictures of her about mid-90s, and she had brown eyes. My ex-wife didn't have brown eyes. She had green eyes. And I was like, oh God, here we go. So that was conspiracy number three. I've seen smaller conspiracies since then that have kind of been directed at me. They weren't a big deal. They weren't life-threatening. It was just somebody talking crap in official position about me that they later had to apologize for. Excuse me. Oh, this air out here. So that's where I'm at with that, and we're approaching 30 minutes, and I don't think you want to hear any more, but anyways, that's what you're going to deal with on this radio program, the conspiracies, the cover-ups, and believe me, my story pales in comparison to what I'm going to put on this website. So if you are ready to go down that rabbit hole and follow me, Phantom B, or Fox Mulder, if you would like calling me Fox Mulder, let's go for it. Let's find out what is hidden in those secret libraries of the government. Let's find out what's hidden in those graves where they tell us, yeah, so-and-so's buried there. Let's go find out. Let's go dig up those graves. Find out if Jimmy Hoffa really is buried there. Let's go check out those islands in the South Pacific and see if Amelia Earhart married a native and grew old and happy. Let's go find out. It's Phantom B for PhantomChasers.online. Have a nice day. Bye.